Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Greater Courage, where we learned that we show courage by doing the right thing when the wrong would have been much easier. Well, today, we'll see that one of the greatest acts of courage is simply to hold on tight when everything in you wants to give up and let go. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Greater Courage.
Now, this happened years ago. It was in the privacy of our home. No one knows. You do, because I share that. But watch how God uses this. Now, I cannot tell you his name nor where this happened because I haven't gotten permission from him to utilize this. But let me just give it to you in a generalized broad brush stroke what happened. Later, Anna and I were at a restaurant in a hotel. And after dinner, we were waiting for our car to come back from the valet when this employee staff person walked by and looked at me and then walked by a second time, looked at me again, walked by a third time, looked at me, and then came back and said, "Are you Wayne Cordero?" I said, "I am." He took out his iPhone. I thought he wanted to take a picture. I said, "Sure, yeah, you bet. We can take a picture." He said, "No, I don't want to take a picture." So I thought, "Oh, okay, sorry." And so he went to his photo thing on his iPhone, and he said, "I want you to see this video." I thought, "What?" My wife was there. I said, "Okay." And so he starts this video, and it's the television program of me some years ago telling this story that I just told you. It was on broadcast, and so it was off the television. And I said, he said, "Is this you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Some years ago," my hair was much darker back then, but I said, "Yes." He said, "I need to tell you a story." He said, "My wife and I have been estranged. We've been separated, going through a divorce. And she was living in another place, and I'm at home. I'm far from God. And I'm watching football." And he even told me the names of the two teams that were playing. It was so fresh in his memory. And he said, "I'm watching this football game, and out of the blue, the channel changes. Whew! And you are on the TV preaching." I said, "No way." And he said, "I started watching because, like, what in the world is going on? And you started preaching and you started telling this story about you and your wife," the one I just told you. I said, "No way." He said, "I immediately called my wife, who was at a different location. I said, turn on," he said, "I told my wife, turn on the television. You got to see this." She turned it on and watched the program. We watched it together. And he said, "God spoke to us so much, is from that next week on, we've been going to church every week." Yeah. And he says, "I don't know how that happened." I said, "I do. God sent an angel and he pushed that remote control button." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because God loves you more than you'll ever know. And he is for you. And we have a great God." The second story is about another hero who leaves us a lesson. David's lesson was, dying in battle is great. Dying to self may even be greater. The second story comes from a leper, but he was a hero. He was a commander in the Aramean army. Now, the Aramean army was known to be a very ferocious group of people fighting. And this man who was a commander, his name was Naaman. Naaman was, in words of 2 Kings chapter 5, he was a valiant warrior. So you know he was a hero, a celebrated hero, probably had in his honor monuments. But he was also a leper. The Bible says there was a spot on his arm that would be the beginnings of leprosy and would spread. Now, at that time, he could probably cover it so no one would see it, but it wouldn't be long before it would spread, and it would cause him to have to be separated from his family, alienated from his wife, and ostracized from his city. It'd be an excruciating life and future for him. Well, in one of his escapades, he got some slaves, and one of the slaves was an Israelite girl. The Israelite girl Saul must really respected this hero for his valor, and one day she must have seen that spot. So he said, "Excuse me, can I look at that spot?" What spot? "That spot in your arm. There's nothing there." "Oh no," she said, "I've seen it before in Israel. It's the beginning of leprosy." "Well, just don't say anything. Just leave me alone." She said, "Oh no, sir, I'm not here to in any way demean you. All I want to say is there's a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha, that he'll pray for you, and I've seen him heal people of leprosy." "Really?" "Yes, and if you'd go down there, I know he'd pray for you." "Would he accept me, not being an Israelite?" "No," she said, "he'll pray for you." "This is amazing. Can you see if you'll receive me?" "Sure." So that night she emails Elisha, and Elisha texts her right back, says, "Absolutely." So he takes a bunch of gifts from Trader Joe's and off he goes to Israel. Finally gets to Elisha's house, knocks on the door. And now Elisha's servant, his servant comes out. "Yes, excuse me, I'm Naaman, the guy with the spot, and I'm here to be prayed for. We sent you an email." "Oh yeah, we got that. Okay, let me see if my master is available." So he goes in the back and Elisha's there and he says, "By the way, there's a guy here who wants you to pray for him." And he's reading Sports Illustrated and he says, "You know, I'm kind of busy right now. So I tell you what, just tell him to dip in the Jordan 7 times and I promise he'll be healed after the 7th dip." "Okay." So he goes, "So, you know, my master's busy right now. And so just go down to the Jordan, just about a 5-minute walk, and dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And after the 7th time, he says, he promises you'll be healed. Naaman says, no, don't you do this to me. I come a long way here to be prayed for by the big boy. Don't you send me away. No, the servant said, please. He said, just dip yourself 7 times. And after the 7th one, he promises you'll receive your healing. Please do that. This is ridiculous. Do you know who I am? I come here to be prayed by the prophet." "Yeah, sir, I know, and it's not that big of a deal, but please do that because my master is busy, and you, please." He's in a rage. "Who do you think I am to come down this far, and this guy won't even receive me?" In fact, he got so mad. Take a look at the scripture here and see what happens in 2 Kings 5:11. Read it with me, go. "But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. So he turned and went off in a rage." You ever do that when God asks you to do something simple? You just don't want to do it. You take a look at some people whose marriages or families or relationships or churches are ready to split, and you try to find out what it really was caused by, and it's like it's so manini. And yet we turn in a rage. You ever done that when God's asked you to do something? We turn in a rage and say, I'm out of here. You see, it takes a greater courage to do something small sometimes and to do something big. In fact, as he's on his way, his own servant Gehazi catches him and says, "Master, if he asked you to do something big to get your healing, would you have done it? Something heroic?"
"Absolutely. Ooh, ooh."
"Well, he's asking you to do something really small."
"I know, that's a problem."
You see, sometimes it's easier to be a hero than it is to dig deep for a greater courage to obey God in the small things. Because it's the small things that God uses to redeem families and heal futures. But it requires a greater courage sometimes for the smaller stuff. Big stuff, we rev up for it. Smaller stuff, we just sort of dismiss. I don't want to do it. And so we turn and we are off in a rage. And God says to you and me, there's a greater courage necessary to hang tight than it is to turn on your heels and leave. Sometimes we think, well, I'm out of here. It takes courage to do that. No, it doesn't. Anybody can do that. You know what it takes? A greater courage to stand fast where God's called you to be. That's the greater courage that's incredibly important. That's what builds futures. Now, the devil doesn't want you to think that way, but I want to mess with your mind a little bit. Let me give you an illustration where I learned this. I was in Bible college. When I went to Bible college, I was 8 months old in the Lord, brand new Christian, but I was on fire. I was 19 years old and I was ready to change the world. I went to Bible college and I was ready to go. Well, problem is one day I went down to the prayer room and I was praying and I saw in a crevice some magazines, and when I emptied out that crevice to see what these magazines were, it was filled with pornographic material from some guy. I Sherlocked this out to find out who and found out who it was, and I went to him and I said, hey, is this your stuff? I said, what are you doing? Because you see, I had just come out of that kind of lifestyle. I'd come out, I'd left home, I was in a rock and roll group and we were doing drugs, I was living in an immoral lifestyle. And when I got saved, I really got saved. And I said, I don't want to even get near this stuff because it'll slip me back in. So I said, what are you doing, man? And all of a sudden, it was like he turned the guns on me and he said, who are you? What are you trying to do? Ruin my life and my future? He said, I'm a student body officer. Now you're going to get me kicked out of this school. That's what you want, isn't it? Then you're going to ruin my future. You're a legalist. You're coming to judge people. You're going to divide this school. You're going to divide us. You're going to bring a division here. And boy, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? Now I'm the bad guy. I've not done anything here. Yeah, you are. You're coming in. You're going to destroy this school. You're going to destroy my life. You're going to destroy my future. How's that feel? You like that? And then the next day he began to spread the fact that I was here to divide the school and bring problems and get people expelled. You better watch out for him because he's checking everybody out. And I said, whoa, what is going on? And so he so eloquently turned the tables. It was like an art. And I thought, this is neurotic. I thought, I'm out of here. You Christians are wacko. You're weird. And he kept going and I said, enough, I've had it up to here. I'm done. I tried to change this, I tried to help you, but all I have are closed doors. I'm done, I'm out of here. I went to my dorm, packed my stuff, and I'm on my way to the bus stop when one of the girls from the Bible college that Anna and I still know today, but she stopped me and she said, Wayne, where are you going? I said, I'm out of here, you Christians are wacko. She said, whoa, what happened? So I disclosed what took place. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I said, I'm not, I'm out of here. She said, wait a minute, can I ask you a few questions? I said, whatever. She said, Wayne, did God call you to come to this college to train for ministry? I said, absolutely. She said, do you think God knew before you came here that these wacko things would happen? Probably. Do you think God called you to this college and you said yes only insofar that everyone here would support you, love you, agree with you, and listen to you? Or did you accept God's call here regardless, for better or for worse? I said, whatever. She said, just think of it this way. Maybe, just maybe, God not caused this, but God's allowed this to test your obedience to his call. Whether or not you're going to accept fair weather calls, fair weather assignments, or is it that whatever God asks you to do, you will do regardless? Maybe it's a test of your obedience. And you think you're courageous leaving. And then she said something that was pretty important. She said, maybe it takes more courage to stay and obey. And I thought, the last thing I'm gonna do is stay now because a girl is telling me to stay. I ain't staying. I'm out of here. A girl is telling me to stay. Now for sure I know I'm going. There's no way in the world I'm gonna stay. So I went back to the dorm and unpacked my stuff. Because what she said was true. See, sometimes we think it takes a great courage to spin on our heels in a rage and leave. God says, no, don't let go of my hand. Don't let go of my hand because I won't let go of yours. And what I've called you to do, I will sustain you. And it takes a greater courage to obey me in the midst of a storm. But there will be storms. But it doesn't change my calling for your life. I learned that through Naaman. See, there's a greater courage for, I'm not talking about heroism. I'm talking about a greater courage that keeps our lives together. That's what builds churches. That's what builds families. That keeps us together. It's a greater courage that's necessary. Now, some of you have hit walls. You say, yeah, well, Wayne, you don't know about, I've hit 4 or 5 walls in this thing here. And I've had it up to here. Yeah, rewind back to Naaman. The prophet said, dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan, and then I promise you that after the 7th, your healing is waiting, your miracle is waiting. Please know this, every crisis you're gonna go through and every wall that you're gonna hit, God has already provided a miracle for. He's waiting on us. Now, let's say it wasn't 7 times dipping in the water. Let's say it was 7 closed doors that he had to go through. Let's say you have to hit 7 walls, and then I promise you, your miracle will be waiting. If it were 7 closed doors, and then God says, I have a promise for you. I have a destiny for you. I have a miracle for you. But there's 7 closed doors. You understand? You got to go through them all. If I knew that, then I would go through 1, 2, 3, 4. After the 5th door, I wouldn't say I've had it up to here with closed doors. No, I'd say I have 5 closed doors behind me, just a little bit more, and I'm there. 6 doors, 7 doors. I'd say I've got those doors behind me, and I have His best in front of me. I wouldn't say after the 6th door, I'm done. I'm out of here in a rage and leave because I've hit 6 closed doors. No, after the 6th door, you say, I've got 1 more door. I am so excited. I have 6 closed doors that I've gone through. See the difference? And God promises you and me a destiny and a promise. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Not planned for your calamity, but for your welfare. I want to give you a future and a hope. Now, how many doors? I don't know. He may have said to Naaman, 13 times you dip, 15 times. God might be saying to you, there's 5 walls, 7 walls, 18 walls, 3 walls, 9 walls, whatever it might be. But I promise you that I will give you a destiny. I will give you a promise. I will give you a miracle. I will never let go of your hand. But there's some walls. And if we think about it differently, when we've gone through and we've hit 6 walls and we've busted through and we're going to the 7th, we get to turn around and say, 6 down. I'm almost at my miracle. I mean, it changes your faith. And in order to have that kind of faith and that kind of perspective, it's going to require greater courage. But if you don't have that kind of courage, you'll never see the miracles and you'll always be looking for ways out. And the devil will get you to think that he's the problem, she's the problem, Elisha's the problem, he didn't get to pray over you, so I'm out of here. And then we have a battle with one another and the devil just cackles. You just disqualified yourself. I want to encourage you to be a people of a greater courage because God's destiny and God's promise is just ahead. Don't ever let the devil lie to you. He's the father of all lies. And your enemy is not anyone that you can see here or in your family. It's not your boss or your supervisor. It's the devil himself that's going to use that and cause fear to take place so you'll disqualify yourself. Don't let go of God's hand. And be a people of a greater courage. Let me finish with this last story, so it kind of wraps it all up. When I was in high school, speaking about how the devil gets us to be afraid so we disqualify ourselves. When I was in high school, I worked with a small outfit. It's actually just my neighbor and a few others that were logging trees from the hillside, private logging kind of expedition. And my boss had a huge long chainsaw. And he would cut down, fall the trees with an undercut, and then he'd cut the tree. And my job with a smaller chainsaw was what they called to buck the limbs, or I have to take all the limbs off so that they'd be able to take this trunk, the trunk of the tree, out, and that's what they would cut for firewood or to a mill and mill it. And on one of the trees, a big tree on the side of a hill, rocky place, he was cutting it, and I guess the tree leaned a little, and when it did, wasn't enough to break its trunk, but enough to give it a weight imbalance, and all of the roots just went whoom. The whole thing went up. Now, I'm standing there next to the tree waiting, and it's like whoom, there's a cavern around me because the roots are up like this. Well, when it did that, it unearthed these rocks, and the biggest rattlesnake you ever saw came slithering out. Now, I'm from Palolo. I don't need these things. And this thing came out, and you can hear it. When the rattlesnake shakes its little tail, it's not like a tick, it's zzzz. And boy, this thing is coming around, and my heart is beating out of my chest. I didn't know what to do, and I'm in panic mode. You know, it's like clear, boom. I have to get myself going again. I was just in panic mode. Just then, my boss saw what was going on. He grabbed a spade shovel, jumped right down in the middle of this thing, and cut his head off. Wham! And then, knowing that I'm this local boy, and I'm just still, you know, frozen, he's digging a hole, and he's putting the head into the hole, and he said, by the way, Wayne, if you ever kill a rattlesnake, I thought, no problem, I ain't ever going to. No, he says, if you ever kill one, cut its head off, and you bury it. You bury it, because if you leave it exposed and it decomposes, bees will come and they'll eat it and suck some of the toxin. And when that bee stings somebody, it's a major problem. So you always bury the head. And then he says, all right, let's get going. We got to cut this tree up. And I'm just still frozen. I ain't getting anywhere near that tree because the thing is still moving. He said, don't worry about that snake. The head is off. It is completely harmless. I said, but it's moving. He said, don't worry about it moving. It is harmless. The head is buried. I said, I don't care. It's moving. And he kind of just pushed me into this crater and said, come on. He jumped in with me and said, let's go. Kicked that thing out of the way and we kept going. Never forgotten that. It reminds me, though, it's like Satan, who was defeated at Calvary. God beheaded him, so he has no authority over us. But he's still moving. Yeah, he is, but he's harmless. And if he can get you to be afraid of him, even though he's harmless, you'll disqualify yourself. You'll hurt yourself. You'll panic yourself out. But he's been defeated at the cross. And you need a greater courage to move and forge ahead, to die to self and not let go of his hand, because the devil has been defeated. He's still moving and he wants you to be fearful, but don't you dare. It requires a greater courage in these days to be men and women of God. And when you do, you'll break through all the closed doors, all the walls, all the dips, and you'll go through because God has a miracle for you in place. He's just wanting us to be a people of a greater courage. Will you do that? Will you do that? Let's do it. We'll do it together.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Greater Courage. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in our auditorium. Starting May 17th with two Sunday services, 9 and 11 a.m. Our Bible College students, alongside our other members, will be serving and leading in worship. Our teaching pastors will be myself, along with Larry Powers and Aaron Cordero. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.